Romans 16, verses 3 through 16, these are God's words. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. I think it's pretty obvious the theme of this section, and that is greetings. Paul is giving them instruction to greet various individuals, and then for everyone to greet one another. And so he is both setting an example for them by sending his own greetings and then giving them instruction to greet one another. Now, what does this greeting mean? Well, the word means to take pleasure in encountering one another, whether it is meeting one another for the first time or renewing acquaintance. We trying to think if we have it in English, pleased to meet you, maybe, in English, although it's not as abrupt as, for instance, those of you who are studying Spanish, mucho gusto, much pleasure. That's the idea of the word greet here, that we take pleasure in encountering one another and take pleasure in having opportunity to connect with one another. There is a delight in one another that is the main theme. And as we take this delight in one another, he teaches us a couple of things that are appropriate for recognizing. Not only do we have this general delight in one another and that we are all Christians in the Lord and saints consecrated to him, but we are in the first place here to recognize others' labors. Surely this was not the first time that he had recognized the labors of Prisca and Aquila and Mary and Urbanus and Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis, and yet he is still recognizing the effort that they have put forth, not only effort that they personally have put forth and expressing gratitude to and for one another in that way, but also, of course, the source of all of these labors is the grace of God and Jesus Christ that has transformed them. The work of believers is precious to us because they are precious, because God's use of the work in our lives is precious, and because the work itself is a demonstration of God's grace in them, by which he has worked in order to make them to work. And so it's good for us to recognize, it is appropriate for us to recognize others' labors and to continue giving one another thanks and giving God thanks for one another. And then also honors. There are various honors that are highlighted in this passage. Epaenetus. I think it's Epaenetus in the Greek, and maybe that's what the A-E here is. So let's say Epaenetus was honored by God to be the first in Achaia to Christ. And by calling him that, we recognize that he is the same as has been given a Christian name. He's nicknamed after the first martyr, and he is called Stephanus by the time Paul writes to the Corinthians. Corinth, of course, being the chief city of Achaia, and recognizing in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, that this Epaenetus, whom they now call Stephanus, was the first fruits of Achaia for Christ, and therefore was the only one whose household Paul in Corinth, Paul even remembers being the one who has baptized, has administered that household baptism in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16. And so this was a great honor for Epaenetus, not so much that Paul had personally baptized him. He actually tries to back off of that in the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians, but that God honored him to be the first fruits of Achaia. Andronicus and Junia are mentioned as of note among the apostles. Now, grammatically, he might be using the word apostles to talk about them, in which case, of course, since there are only the 12 and Paul recognizes his apostleship as unusual for how late it was, they're not in the office of apostle. But as we saw earlier with the word servant being applied to Phoebe, it can also just be the regular definition of the word apostle, sent one. But probably the meaning, which is also appropriate to the grammar, is that even the apostles have taken note of this Andronicus and this Junica. And so they are distinguished as those who were willing to be prisoners along with Paul, who had been in Christ even before Paul. And so they've received various honors, and perhaps the highest of the honors is that they were indeed prisoners. Apelles is called approved in verse 10. Rufus is called chosen, perhaps because he and his mother are the only ones who have professed faith in their family. We don't know for sure why. All believers, as Paul has taught even in this letter, are chosen. And then there are honors that do apply to all believers. In verse 14, with Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Patrobas and Hermes, he refers to those with them as brethren. This too is an honor. And as he is modeling for us, recognizing the honors that God has bestowed on various ones, whether it is the first fruits of a certain area, or that the Lord has used them to encourage the saints, made them well known, or perhaps has given them even the honor of being imprisoned for the faith. All believers have the honor of being brethren. All believers have the honor of being saints. And so he switches up the vocabulary from brethren in verse 14 to saints in verse 15, when he talks about Philologus and Julia and Nereus and his sister and Olympus and those who are with them. And so not only are we to express to one another and keep thanking God for one another's work, but also it is appropriate to recognize the honors that God has placed upon each other. And then there are expressions of affection, recognizing the special connections that the Lord has given us with others. He recognizes Andronicus, Junia, and Herodion as his countrymen. recognizing their common ethnicity with him. He calls Amplius and Stachys my beloved. So there is some special or closer connection with them in God's providence. And so he expresses unique affection for some of them, according to the degrees of relational closeness that God has given him with them. And he gives them instruction to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, this does not lay a perpetual obligation of a particular physical form of affection upon the church throughout the ages. This is an instruction to greet one another with the affection that you would greet a blood sibling with. Now, among the Jews, it was more common, among the Romans, less so, to do the kiss greeting. I don't know how many of you can remember maybe meeting some of my extended family at some point, but still to this day in Egypt, if you meet someone, especially someone who is from extended family or friends, it is customary to kiss, maybe kiss in the air near the cheek, but you put the cheeks kind of, you vary. Some are superstitious and do it exactly three times, because that's a religious superstition. I will do either two or four in order not to yield into the religious superstition with the three times. But they had like that, except the Jews had a rule that you would only do that with a woman if she was your mother, sister, or daughter. And here he differentiates the ordinary kiss with the holy kiss. That is the kiss that belongs to the saints. Treat the whole church as family, he is saying. And so we are to express affection to one another in the manner that we would our own family. If it is not customary, as I think in almost all of the households that I know of, in American households, they don't see their sister somewhere and run up and give her a kiss, or even the shadow kisses on the sides of the face, then that is not, this is not kind of overruling that. It's saying, show family affection to the church. This is one of the reasons why in our congregation, for instance, brothers tend to hug brothers and sisters tend to hug sisters. There isn't a lot of hugging between brothers and sisters and families, and so there probably ought not to be a lot of hugging between brothers and sisters in the church. The point of the passage is not to set down a rule. It is the point of the command in verse 16 is to greet one another with the family greeting that recognizes we are the holy family. Papists say the holy family is Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Well, Joseph and Mary are closer to Jesus as believers than they are by being the one who bore him in Mary's case, or his adoptive earthly father in Joseph's case. The holy family is God with all of his adopted children in his only begotten son. And so we are to greet one another with affection. In the last place, we should note that we are to greet one another covenantally, that there are not just the personal connections that the Lord has given us, which we recognized under expressing affection, but that God, being a covenantal God, has made the household the unit of his church. He even refers to the church that is in the house, or the household, of Priscilla, or Prisca, and Aquila, not saying that they are having church meetings, public worship in their house. That is a relatively new interpretation of that in the last century or so. That it was recognized appropriately, covenantally, before that, that he was recognizing that every household, every Christian household is, as it were, a little church. And so it is a high honor or blessing that he is recognizing upon Priscilla and Aquila. Not only has God blessed their ministry in various ways that we read about in Acts and even in another of Paul's letters, their ministry in various ways in the church more broadly, but even in their own house, they are not neglecting their ministry in their home. Every house should be a little church. Every house is a worship service, as it were, when they lay down and when they rise up, very specifically, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the purpose of mornings and evenings. And so there's the recognition of the covenant home, the covenant household. There are several such households mentioned then in this passage. The household of Aristobulus in verse 10, and of Narcissus in verse 11. Rufus and his mother make up a special little household, and perhaps there are some in their house that have apostatized, that have left the faith, leading to Paul calling Rufus chosen, and it might be the personal affection that he has for Rufus and his mom, combined with a desire to comfort her, that he refers to Rufus's mom as Rufus's mother and mine, that he has a son-like affection for her and considers her as being close to him as a mom. So there are these covenantal greetings, recognition of the household as a covenant unit. And then there's a covenantal greeting that closes the whole passage when he says, the churches of Christ greet you. That a church also is a corporate covenantal entity. So not only is the household a covenantal unit, a covenantal entity, but each congregation is a covenant unit, a covenantal entity. And so these corporate units can greet one another. The one congregation greeting corporately the other congregation. And so we see here what the Lord Jesus has done, worked out in the greeting of one another, expressing our delight in one another, recognizing each other's labors, recognizing the honors that the Lord has bestowed upon one another, expressing affection relating both to particular closeness that has come in the providence of God, and then the holy closeness of the whole church as families, and doing so even theologically and practically, recognizing that God deals with men according to covenant households and congregations covenantally and corporately. So sometimes we hear that churches have, quote unquote, a real sense of community, and they ought to. And so may the Lord give the members of our church and of all of his churches delight in one another's acquaintance, recognition of one another's labors and honors, and affection in Christ that corresponds to the degree of closeness into which his providence has brought us. And may he give us to do so, maintaining a covenantal frame of mind, so that we would view households and congregations in the way that he does. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example that the apostle set. We pray that you would help us to heed his instruction. Give us a valuing of Christ and his church that conforms to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.